Members, friends, visitors, whoever you are, we welcome you. We're happy to have you join us this morning, and we hope that you find a church home here. My name is Lisa Teal, and I am a lay ministry candidate for the Unitarian Universalist Church of Kent. And I'm joined today by Reverend Joan Van Beesler, hidden behind me. She hails from Columbus and is a UU Congregational Life Consultant and Executive Director of UU Justice Ohio. We're delighted to have her with us today. We are also joined by Music Director Hal Walker and some of his musical friends, I think. We light our chalice today as a symbol of the beacon that calls us forth to love, to seek justice, to grow, and to deepen our connections.
Come into this circle of love and justice. Come in to this community where we can dream together and believe in those dreams. Come into this holy space where we remember who we are and how we want to live. Come now and let us worship together. Now, today's story is a parable for all ages, And it's the story of the beautiful tiger. Once, there was a powerful and beautiful tiger. And one day she was captured by a mean and cruel man who put her in a cage. And the man kept the cage in the jungle not far from his house. And every day he would bring a bowl of water and some food for that lonely, lonely tiger. Now, sometimes the tiger would see her reflection in that bowl of water, and she would think, oh my, I must be a beautiful tiger. But when the man heard her say this, he would lie and he would tell her, nah, you're not a beautiful tiger. You're ugly, ugly, pitiful creature. And sadly, the tiger would believe the man. Now, some days after she ate her food, she would walk back and forth in her small cage, but she would feel the energy and the power moving through her body, and she would say, oh my, I must be a powerful tiger. But when the man heard her say this, he would lie again, and he would say to her, oh no, you are weak and puny. You are a pitiful, pitiful creature. And sadly, the tiger would believe the man. Now, one day when the man was nowhere near to be found, a lion happened to walk by the cage. And the lion saw the tiger lying inside and spoke to her. Oh, beautiful and powerful tiger, what are you doing lying around in that cage?
Don't make fun of me, replied the tiger. I know I am neither powerful nor beautiful.
But I'm not making fun of you, said the lion. You are surely the most beautiful and the most powerful tiger I have ever seen, and I'm only surprised to see you lying here, when you are clearly strong enough to break out of that cage.
You really think I could break out of here?
Said the tiger. Oh, quite easily, I should think, said the lion. Now, the tiger was not so sure at first, you know. She had been told so many, many times that she was weak and puny and a pitiful, pitiful creature. But suddenly it seemed to her that she could feel energy and strength moving through her body, and she began to pace back and forth in her cage, and then, almost without a thought, she burst against the cage door, and it flew open without any resistance. Now, once outside, she was dazed.
I spent so much of my life in that cage, she said. And the cage didn't even have a lock on it.
The lion looked at her with soft brown eyes and said, well, those kinds of traps don't need locks, for it is the lies we believe in that keep us in our cages, and it is the truth that will set us free.
Well, it's the testimonial time here, so I'd just like to say I've been attending this church for about 8 years, and it's been a very rare and wonderful experience for me. This church has a truly wonderful music program that's exceptional, and it's a wonderful ministry, too. And as I look out over all the people here this morning, I realize that I know many of you by name, and more than that, I might have been over to your house for dinner, or we might have gone camping together. And that's a very rare and valuable thing for me. So, I'm increasing my pledge to this church this year by 20%, and it's a blessing that I'm willing and able to do so, and I hope that you will too.
Thank you, Mark. I'm Kay Ekman, and I've been attending this church for 17 years. Back in September of 2001, when I walked through that door, I almost immediately felt at home, and I really sensed that this was just a wonderful community. There's a lot to like here, but I think one of the most favorite thing is Sunday service. Today, when we all meet in this sanctuary, and I think about people for the past 150 years coming here every Sunday, it's just amazing. But every Sunday, I'm sure to find a thoughtful service, and that speaks to my spirit. And unfortunately, that's, I think, part of me that gets ignored all week during my busy workaday week. So after a week of sort of treading in that general, I'm calling it the pit of negativity that we all go through every week, This church really helps me just sort it out, and I can sit here on this Sunday service and hit the reset button and put things in perspective. A Sunday service is like a gift to my soul, and it helps me sort out what really matters. I hear a thoughtful message. I'm moved by almost impossibly wonderful music. And I feel a real kinship with everyone who's sitting around me. And this experience is just precious to me. So feeding my soul is one of the many reasons that I'm increasing my pledge by 20% this year. But I'm also really excited about the upcoming year. We've got a new fellowship hall, a new settled minister. So I'm ready to supersize my Sunday experience, and I hope you'll all join me in doing so as well. Thank you.
Well, please join me now in a moment of prayer with these words by Sarah Lawal. Spirit of life and love, in the silence, in the stillness, we hear the call of our own heart, its tender dreams, its sorrows, and its triumphs. In the silence, in the stillness, we hear whispers of days gone by, of dreams still becoming the promise of the future. We celebrate together our individual journeys and dreams and our collective ones, knowing the journey is so much richer with others to share in it. In the name of all that is holy, we pray. Amen.
joy. We are joy. We are joy. We are joy. Om mane padme hum. Om mane padme hum.
Rainbow in someone's cloud. Do not complain, but make every effort to change things you do not like. And if you cannot make a change, change the way you've been thinking. You might find a new solution. I want you to imagine with me for just a moment that it's Labor Day. Okay, or 4th of July, or Memorial Day, but one of those days where your whole extended family has gathered in the park for a picnic. And you look across the lawn, and you see Cousin Charlie walking straight for you. Now, Cousin Charlie is a very opinionated person in a kind of negative way. And he just loves to argue politics and tell you where you are going wrong with all your hippy-dippy notions. So he comes up, and he comes up, and he goes on, and he goes on, and he goes on about the latest conspiracy theory that he heard on some talk radio or something like that. And, you know, first you stand there and you silently listen, and after all, he is family, right? And then he starts pressing you for a response. And he presses, and he keeps pressing, and you try to shift the topic, but he presses on. And finally, you've just had enough, and you respond, "Charlie, you are all wrong. That's not the way the world is." And then you go on in your best logical way and you try to explain it to him. But that doesn't work. And he doesn't hear you at all. Instead, he gets mad and he tells you how wrong you are and that you're destroying the country. And it comes and escalates from there. And pretty soon he's making these big gestures to try to get his point across. And he knocks over the barbecue grill. And there are hot dogs and chicken legs flying everywhere. And then the whole family gets in the act. Well, finally, things calm down a bit. But Charlie hasn't changed his mind one little bit. And then he announces to everyone there that he will never again attend a family gathering if you are going to be there. And then your aunt starts to cry, and it's a mess. It's a mess. Anybody ever have anything like that happen to them? Yeah, it is a perfect example of the power of negative language. Now, one of the big revelations for professional communicators, including we clergy types, is just how destructive negative language and stories can be, and how powerful and healing positive, grace-filled words and stories can also be. This power of language has been brought into very, very sharp focus for me and many others during our political season of this last year. And this power of negative language is reinforced again and again in the chaotic, destructive communications that we find tweeted and posted to Facebook and printed and spoken in our current situation. Now, I'm not talking about the language of public dissent.
Although we sometimes go overboard with negative language in those situations too, much to the detriment of our effectiveness. Instead, I'm talking about the language we use when we want to persuade or advocate or express our views and speak to family and friends or sometimes even to ourselves. So what is it about negative language that makes it so very destructive? Well, first, negative language is non-communication. If I say to you, oh, that's not how we do it, or that's meaningless, you know, what have you really learned? The statement is belittling, it's accusatory, like, you know, you should have known more than you did. Secondly, negative language is destructive and it causes defensiveness. So if I say to you, oh, you are so wrong, you are now a victim. And I haven't provided any information to help you know what is right. And even if I follow this comment, this accusation, with some kind of useful information, chances are you will never hear me because I have already seriously insulted or hurt you. Well, third, negative language drives our communication just plain out of control. As soon as I say to you, oh, that's not the way we think, you know, what are your options for response? You'll ask me, well, why not? Or why isn't it? Or why don't we? And these are all escalating negative responses, which drive communication even farther off track and into a big verbal negative ditch. And we are now out of control, and we can all feel it. Fourth, negative language causes intellectual deafness. Some perpetually angry people seem to need negative language. In fact, the fulfillment of their mission seems to revolve around the use of it. And when they get negative language in response, the communication immediately becomes driven by it and expands the original conflict. It is nearly impossible to be positive enough to punch through a negative verbal shield once it has been formed like that. And then negative language never brings closure. Negative language is often used in the mistaken belief that it somehow brings closure to allegations or accusations, but the actual effect is just the opposite. When challenged or insulted, we want to strike back. This is natural when our favorite ideas are assaulted or questioned or our beliefs are impugned. We are uncomfortable, we are defensive, we are non-communicative, and we have no idea how to respond in a productive way. And then sixth and finally, negative language weighs more than positive language. It weighs more. Professional communicators have learned that talking about serious issues and topics in negative language is almost impossible to overcome, no matter how many positive words or phrases or thoughts we use later. Because verbally, negative words carry 5 times the weight of positive words. 5. Negative language weighs more because our human brains think in picture format. And it is extremely difficult to process a negative image. Let me give you an example. A mother sees her kid swinging on a high tree branch, and she yells out, "Don't fall down." So the kid looks down, sees how far up she is, suddenly thinks about falling, loses focus, and what does she do? Falls, right? Why is this? To process that instruction, don't fall down, the brain has to first imagine the falling down and then try not to do it. So we wind up giving negative language much more brain time and brain energy right from the very beginning. So you can see why some people believe all of the negative things and lies that they hear despite their own core values or the urging of their own conscience. The negative stuff simply demands more energy and time as we listen to it, and we often come to believe it despite ourselves.
But it is, if it's so destructive and it doesn't bring closure, and we often wind up falling down, why do people continue to use it? Sometimes we simply can't think of a better way to express ourselves. Our imaginations, our minds are constrained by bad habits, limited styles of thinking, underlying assumptions, old language patterns. Now, in our example, the mother is trying to protect her child. She's trying to change a dangerous situation. But the energy flows where attention goes. Our habitual styles of negativity often have that ironic outcome of making the very problems that we want to change become even worse. In congregations, unfortunately, we do this all the time. We look at what we don't have rather than what we do have. We worry about how to get more people in the pews on Sunday morning rather than look at how our congregation has been working together to make a positive impact in the community. We fret about curricula or programs that we don't have rather than look at the wonderful relationships and resources that we already do have with the members of our congregation. And when time comes for the annual pledge drive, we often tell a negative story of our financial deficits and all the things we lack, rather than look at the possibilities of actually growing our generosity together. Because it's easy for us to take for granted all the good things we have. But research tells us that the more we stop to appreciate what we have, the happier and healthier and even more effective we're going to be. Energy goes where attention flows. So we live in an increasingly complex world, and our old styles of speaking and thinking are not supporting the change that we want to see. Instead, we need more creative and useful ways of expressing our values and our convictions. We have to change the way we speak to and with one another if we're going to free our imaginations and our capacity for creating real, genuine change instead of just upsetting a barbecue grill now and then. Maya Angelou wrote, "Change the way you've been thinking, and you might find a new solution." In light of the continued political and social chaos we face and the injustices we see around us and the horrible words we see tweeted and Facebooked out daily, I believe we must change the way we talk with one another now if we ever hope to move into a more positive future together. Now, we all have some personal stories of negative language in our lives. You know, maybe you got a Cousin Charlie story. Or at some time somewhere, something bad happened to us. And ever since, we've continued to tell ourselves our own personal negative story and repeated all the things that can go wrong in our future, like the beautiful tiger. For me, one of the biggest negative stories that I carried around for years was about my divorce from my first spouse. And I began to believe that all romantic relationships were just doomed. And I proceeded to live a kind of self-fulfilling prophecy out of that. You know, none of my subsequent relationships worked out at all. And I was telling myself negative stories like, you know, marriages never last, and all relationships are doomed in this culture, and I was creating my own reality. And it was only when I met my spouse, Jerry, that things changed. He was very patient with me until I finally realized how I was giving these negative stories way too much power in my life. I was seeing everything that could go wrong, and I gave those thoughts way too much energy. See, the very experiences that we fear keep repeating themselves
if we continue to focus on that negativity and give them the destructive power in our lives. But we can decide not to be reduced by fear and negativity, no matter how triumphant they may appear to be in the moment. We've got to become aware of the destructive force of negative language and change our stories if we want to change our reality. Just like I had to replace my negative beliefs about relationships with a new and hopeful outlook. And by the way, Jerry and I have been together now for 30 years, so I have no doubts about this relationship happening, right? But I had to start thinking differently 30 years ago, or it wouldn't be alive today. We have a choice. We have a choice if we want to bring positive change to our lives and the world, to our relationships and to our communities. Now, we can use that old dead negative language and arguments, or we can shift our communication patterns to something more powerful and grace-filled for real change. I think we have time for this. Let's take a minute right now and practice that power of positive language. I want you to think of a hope that you have for the future of this congregation. I mean something big, something audacious, something totally awesome, right? Think of that. Now choose a partner next to you, and the two of you share your hopes. You have like 2 minutes for this. Okay, share your hopes. All right, okay. I hate to bust up good conversations, okay? Remember where you left off and continue it in coffee hour, okay? But what did it feel like to express your hopes in negative or positive, pardon me, in positive language right now? What did that feel like to you? If anybody wants to just shout out something.
Energizing.
Fun. I heard hopeful. Okay, good. Others?
Inspiring.
Yeah, inspiring. You know, our imaginations are stretched. Our curiosity is really more fully engaged by hearing what is possible rather than sitting around and griping about what we can't do. There's more evidence about the power of positive language. Look at medical research for an example. You know, the placebo effect. If we think that something is helpful, it often turns out to be so. In education, we talk about the Pygmalion effect, because if we tell a child they're stupid and will never learn, then they are shortchanged for life. But if we tell a child that she can learn and is capable and give her a chance to try, you know, like the beautiful tiger, the child comes to believe it and learns and becomes capable. And we all know in sports psychology, that confirms the power of positive imagery in winning sports teams. And then there is the statement of Black Lives Matter. That's a positive statement, not a negative one. It's a hopeful declaration for a future where the worth and dignity of Black people, and then eventually all people, is ultimately honored. Change begins to happen at that level of dialogue. When we talk with family and friends and ourselves about real possibilities, and I see this lived out every time I work with a congregation moving through some kind of tension or transition or dispute, because the best clue to a congregation's health and capacity for change is to listen to how its members talk about each other and about their future together as a faith community. The real evidence of the strength of our Unitarian Universalist values is to listen to how we talk about each other and our faith. And we can start to change our own negative styles of thinking and habits of argument and criticism into something more powerful and effective by simply shifting some of our commonly used negative accusations into more positive statements. I want to give you just a couple of short examples. A negative one: I don't believe it. I don't believe you. Positive: here's what I believe.
And here's what we value. A negative one: it won't work, it never worked. Positive: let me give you some suggestions that might work. Negative: you are wrong. And positive: let's look at the facts together. And you might want to remember these word shifts the next time you run into Cousin Charlie. So, what are the destructive beliefs, the negative stories that you've been telling yourself, that we've been telling ourselves? Maybe it's time to narrow in on those beliefs that are keeping us from living the lives we want to live and being all that we know we can be. We may not control all the events that happen to us, but we can decide not to be reduced by them. We have the power to decide not to let the negativity around us control our lives, either our private lives or our public lives. And I believe it is time, right now, to lift up our core values in the public sphere, using strong, positive language followed by strong, positive action. And it will be difficult, but we can let go of our old habits. If we don't let go of them, then we risk being trapped like the tiger. And those of us who are working for justice, like in UU Justice Ohio, who work for beloved community here and now, we are letting go of old habits. We're experimenting, we're risking, we're organizing, we're engaging in new strategies of nonviolent confrontation to speak a positive truth to power. And we're called to collaborate deeply with a number of partners so that together we can effectively address the injustices we find here in Ohio and in our larger world. And we are inviting all Ohio Unitarian Universalists to join with us in these efforts to build beloved community. And of course, I have a flyer and a flyer outside so that you can share in the work together with UU Justice Ohio to become part of this positive movement. Because despite the many challenges we find around us, this may be the actual start of an era for positive change in the world. We have good and useful and necessary and redemptive work to do. So what about Cousin Charlie? He's not really a bad person, and he is family after all. So you pause, you breathe, and then you love. Ask him why he thinks the way he does. Be genuinely curious. Listen to him. If you find some common ground that you can use to talk, that's great. Talk about common hopes for your future. And if you don't see any common ground, well, then bless his soul. Tell him you love him and ask him if he'd like to go with you to check out the dessert table. Who knows? Something else may happen in the future to bring you together. And like the beautiful tiger, we don't have to believe the negative language we've heard about ourselves or others. Instead, we can feel that energy and strength move through us when we think and talk about ourselves and our work in the world in a new and positive way. And we'll find that our cage does not have a lock on it. Because as the lion said, it's the lies we believe in that keep us in our cages. And it is that positive, forward-thinking truth that will set us free.
I can see a new day soon to be, when the storm clouds are all past and the sun shines on a world that is free. I can see a new world coming fast, when we're all one people and hatred is forgotten at last. I can see a new man standing tall, with his head high and his heart proud and afraid of nothing at all. I can see a new woman standing tall with her head high and her heart proud and afraid of nothing at all. I can see a new day soon to be, when the storm clouds are all past and the sun shines on a world that is free.
Our closing words are by the Reverend Wayne Arneson, who writes, "Take courage, my friends. The way is often hard. The path is never, ever clear. And the stakes are very high. But take courage, for deep down, there is another truth. We are not alone." My friends, as you leave today to live our lives this week, this month, this year, let's remember that we may not be able to control all the things that happen to us, but we can decide not to be reduced by them, because we are never alone.